Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. It is Sunday, and this is this week's sermon. Normally preach this at a church, and then I re-preach it at night because it seems it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit operates. There's always the same kind of theme, but he just speaks differently. I used to record these at church, you know, the place physically I'm preaching, and then what I found out is like when there's a message there at that church where I'm at physically preaching, and then there's a message to the audience or the people listening to this podcast. It seems like I was not doing it right, what the Holy Spirit was wanting. So what I do is I re-preach it. Tonight, my mom was here, so I'm getting a late start on it. But nevertheless, my mom and we watched a few movies, enjoyed fellowship. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it tonight, so I was going to wait for tomorrow. But it just felt led to do it tonight for whatever reason it may be. The title is kind of long. Overall, the title is The Word of God Reveals Our True Enemies. And the Word of God prepares us for battle. That title is, The Word of God, Scripture, Reveals Our True Enemies. And through the Word of God, through the Scripture, prepares us for battle. Our main scripture reading today and for this week is John 10:10. That's John 10:10. I normally read from the King James Version, but most all the translations I look at, you know, it rings true to the heartbeat of what John 10:10 says. So John 10:10. The thief come not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And I, that's Jesus here, I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thank you for this opportunity, or if somebody's listening to this in the morning, or throughout the week, or wherever time, Lord, we just come at whatever time, whoever's listening to this, at whatever time they're listening to it, Lord, we come and we just breathe in your name, knowing that you are God. And whatever we are going through in our lives, the sting, the suffering, the pain of this life, it can take your breath away. It does mine several times through the week. Life can get a bit rough. There's one foundation that is most important that us as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to get in our minds that perspective, that within that foundation, Jesus alone, and within those storms, that he is the anchor of our salvation. He is the anchor of our hope. That anchor that holds us when the storms, when the wind, the rain, and the hurricane or the tornado winds are blowing so hard and it's rattling us, it wants to pick us off the ground. Oh, he's our anchor. He's our anchor. He holds us steady. It's when we move our eyes off him, we start getting in trouble. So when we don't keep our eyes on the master of the wind, the master of our soul, the master of our heart, the winds will pick us up. Oh, I think of Peter. His faith was great when he got out of that boat and started walking on the water, and he did walk on the water for a period. He kept his eyes firmly planted on Jesus. But when he took them off, he heard the thunder and the rain. He started to sink. Man, there's a full message in that. Lord, help us keep our eyes on you more than all the things around us that are falling apart. God, I pray over our nation. We pray over our leaders. God, we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray over America. We pray that the heart is changed. We pray that America turns from her wicked ways. We pray over the churches that have compromised their truth to substitute for entertainment. They have compromised the Word of God. Lord, we pray over them. Our hearts hurt for them. We lift them up to you. We pray only a true revival will come when a nation really truly turns to the Word of God and said, this is what the Word of God says. I will stand on that truth. The Word of God is final, not entertainment. The Word of God is solid. The Scripture is that light in our path that lights it up for us as we walk through this dark world. God, I pray that you just, the Holy Spirit just falls, works through me, reaches those around at the sound of my voice, and lifts them up from whatever they're going through. I pray that wisdom that has parted from this, knowledge that has parted from this, all divine from the Holy Spirit and the gift that He has given me to expound and teach and to preach. Glory and honor goes to Jesus Christ and not me. Only the name that matters is Jesus Christ and not Jonathan Ritter. In the end, I want people to see Jesus through me. That's all that matters. And I pray that is our heartbeat as we walk out this week, that people will see Jesus through us. And pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. So John 10:10. Spiritual warfare. It's real. I've been preaching probably not for a long time, but probably about 8 years now. This website was birthed from the Holy Spirit. I believe this website's probably been active for 3 years now. And during that period of time, it might be four now, who knows. But during that time, I have preached on spiritual warfare over and over. And of course, there's Bible studies on here on spiritual warfare. And I'm very passionate about speaking about spiritual warfare. It's real. We should acknowledge that. If we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, we should understand we have a real spiritual enemy or enemies. His name is Satan. And of course, we know Satan has a host of demons. We call them fallen angels, and we get that in Revelations 12, 3 through 4. That's Revelations 12, 3 through 4. And they've been operating in humanity since the fall of mankind, the original sin in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve failed God, this leads to the evil that we see today. All the bad stuff we see in this world is not God's fault, but we're so quick to point our fingers at Him. I want to tell you, it's not His fault. See, the spiritual enemy or enemies, Satan and his demons. Satan is not a good guy, period. But the sad truth, this world wants us to believe that he is. When we look at Genesis 3, 1 through 10, you see where the serpent, and a lot of that is, you know, regardless if how you want to view that, if it was really a snake that was possessed, or if it's just a symbolic symbol of actually Satan there walking. He was able. And Adam and Eve allowed that deception by even entertaining, going into conversation. Listen, we're not supposed to enter conversation with our spiritual enemy. We have nothing to prove. We don't even need to give him a foothold or a stronghold in our lives. We recognize the enemy who he is. He's a father of lies. He will fill you your heart up with lies, right? And that's what he did in the garden. The deception was great. Do not think Satan is a fool when it comes to manipulating people. He's a fool because we'll get more into that on what his position was and how he fell, but he's not a fool. I was trying to look for that one scripture. Here, yeah, John 8:44. That's John 8:44. It says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth," meaning he was not in the truth, "because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it." Satan is a liar, period. And this is his world, Matthew 4, right? When we look at Matthew 4, and I'm not going to read all of that, but we look at the temptation of Jesus. Jesus is on this 40-day fast. And I'll tell you, if you ever fast, that's intense. Even a 3-day fast is intense. I know there's a partial and there's a full fast. And Jesus was on a full fast here. And when he comes off this 40 days and 40 nights fast, he is hungry. And see, at those weakest times is when Satan comes. And he comes and he's tempting Jesus 3 times. And that third time is where we get where he is. This is his world. We'll go ahead and look at some of this. Matthew 4, 7. Let's look at 7 here. It says, "And Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And then we go here. "Again the devil took him up on a exceeding high mountain," right? And the kings, it says, "shew," that means show him all the kingdoms of the world. He was showing him the kingdoms and the glory thereof. He's showing him the... And he says, "Send to him, all these things will I give you." This is Satan speaking to Jesus. "If thou wilt fall down and worship me." He is the God of this world. Period. And when we hear things that we hear today that, oh, Satan is misunderstood. Satan is not as bad as you think he is. These are all lies that the enemy is feeding this world. And I want to tell you, it's sad. Now I want to give a few examples here. I did share these on our Facebook page on Fisher. And this is just kind of the point, saying that Satan is no joke. And the movement of Satanists is growing in America. It's been growing for a while. On January 15, 2018... there was an Oxford University study. The title of this study was called, get this, "Satanists, Fastest Growing Religion in America." And this study, they stated chances are now as fast as 1 in 10 that the guy next door is a Satanist. There's another quote in the study, so I'm certain that it's at least 10% of American population now, maybe more. We're talking about men and women from all walks of life. Satanists has gone overground, meaning they are not hiding it anymore. And this was in 2018, and by now I'm pretty sure there's more. In 2019, there was a movie. I don't know if you've seen this. It's called Hail Satan, where it's portraying Satan and Satanists as misunderstood. He's just symbolic. And I want to tell you, if you watch this movie, prepare yourself, because a true disciple of Jesus will cry and weep over how these people are blind by Satan and his demons. And this course includes any form of witchcraft. There is no such thing as a good witch. It's witchcraft. And the inundation of witchcraft in our culture is ground shaking, rattling. We should guard our kids from any form that even hints to witchcraft. And you can do your own research and look at witchcraft and what it is, and anything in the entertainment industry that glorifies it and that brings it up. We're supposed to keep our kids from that. Not me being harsh, just saying, what is going on? This is me just asking you to think about this. Why is Satanism and witchcraft growing in America? Just this month, Scottsdale, Arizona, on February 2, 2022, they had a Satan's conference, like Satan conference. It was all SatanCon, and it was the largest known Satan get-together conference ever done. Most recently, in this month, 14, 2022, an article on Opinion reads, after school, Satan Club takes aim at Satan's Club takes aim at a Christian club for children. This article, which I post on Facebook, and you can have access to it, says, the Satan Temple recently opened an after-school as part of a nationwide campaign to push back against the Christian Good News Club offered to children after regular hours. The Satan Temple, which runs the program, said it stood. This is what they were saying. We will offer activities such as science, craft projects, puzzles, and games. They will learn about the goodness and the empathy and the critical thinking, problem solving, creative expression too. They're painting this as something as harmless. I won't tell you. It's not. Why? Because Satan is a master manipulator. Satan is no joke. Are we going to get this? When we look at John 10:10 and we look at that first part, it tells us the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. That is his main purpose. That is his main goal. His agenda is destruction. We take the word of God and we go with it. He is not to give life. He is to take life. And I've gave this example before. If you're in your home and you're all cuddled up in your bed, and there's somebody outside that wants to come in and they want to take your stuff and they want to end your life, because they don't want to get caught, right? No witnesses. And they want to burn your house down. How would you respond? This is what Satan does. It's nothing but destruction. But who is Satan? Isaiah 14:12-15. That's Isaiah 14:12-15 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which doest weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. To hell. To the size of the pit. When we look at this passage, there are several things that we need to take from it. First, yes, Isaiah is referring here to the king of Babylon. And if you look at the Babylon Empire, it was an empire of wickedness and evil. Evil penetrated every fabric being of that society. You could see Satan's hand all about, and Isaiah could see that. And he's calling out the evilness of that empire. And specifically that king that was encouraging it. And some would believe that he was possessed by Satan himself, which is possible. Because when we look at this passage, the symbolism is beyond what we can imagine. They're pointing to something that's unearthly, spiritual. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven? You have fell from heaven." Given that, and it says, "O Lucifer, the son of the morning." And then we go to verse 13. For thou hast said thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And when we look at stars here in this context, it's speaking of angels. And this is telling of a prideful agenda. And Satan was full of pride and still is full of pride. When we look at this word Lucifer, yes, he could be pointing to the king of Babylon, but he's also pointing to the influence that's all around him that is satanic. And possibly Satan himself. And in that context, that's where we get. I say that because some will come out and say, well, this is not referring to Satan. And I'll tell you, the wording in here is almost, it's hard not to say that there's something spiritually going on here when he says, "O Lucifer, son of the morning." When we look at the Latin of Lucifer, this is light bearer. And the Hebrew, of course, means morning star. And when we look at Luke 10:18, Jesus says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Satan fell from heaven. He was cast out, right? And Ezekiel, now it was Isaiah 14:12-15. Ezekiel 28:13-18 says this. And we're speaking, we know Satan fell from heaven. And when we look at it, it says, "Art thou fallen from heaven?" So there's a almost a direct point to Satan here. Ezekiel 38:13-18 goes more into that. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." "Every precious stone was thy covering." The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper and sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle, gold, the workmanship of thy tablets, of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that has been created. And 14 says, "Thou art the anointed cherubim that cover. And I have set thee so, that has upon the holy mount of God, thou walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Man, such a vivid picture here. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise that filled the midst of thee with violence, thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profound on the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thy heart was lifted up because thy beauty." There's pointing pride here, beauty. "Thou hast corrupt thy wisdom by reason thy brightness." Pride again. "I'll cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that may be behold thee. Thou hast defiled my sanctuaries of the multitude of my iniquities by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I'll bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold him." Once again, Ezekiel here is pointing to the king of Tyre being, I believe, truly influenced. And most people will point to he's being influenced by Satan himself. And that's the position I take on that. And when we look at that, it's just the language, right? Verse 13 said, "Thou hast been in the garden, the Eden, the garden of God." Was the king of Tyre there at the garden of God? No. Did he have all these precious stones covering? And I'm telling you, if you Google these stones, man, they're beautiful. Sardis, tapos, or topos, and diamonds. These are beautiful, beautiful diamonds. And he's covered with these. And meaning there's beauty within his covering. And he's an anointed cherubim. He's using anointed cherubim. This is a class of angel. And we don't really know too much about the cherubims. But one thing we do know, that these were angels of worship and praise. And the strong language here is pointing to that angel, the anointed cherubim, that had pride. That said, "Look at me, look how beautiful I am." And he's leading worship and praise to the one true holy God. And he didn't like it too much. He wanted praise. He wanted worship. And we take that passage and we look at Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. And we take those and we link them together. It directly points to Satan, which was once Lucifer, and he fell because of pride. And he was a worship leader. He was leading worship and praise to God. And just from these passages, we can get that pride beaming off of him. And Ezekiel 28:17 says, "Thy heart was lifted because of thy beauty." Right? "That has corrupt thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground." There's that word again, cast thee to the ground. Luke 10:18 again, Jesus says, "I said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven." These passages point to who Satan was, or was. He was in a position of authority, power, below God, of course, and he wanted to be God. And this really connects when we look at all, if we study the scriptures in complete. And one of the easiest ways to look at that is to look at Genesis 3 through 10. Genesis 3, 1 through 10, and it says here, and I don't want to go too long, but man, it's just, there's so much here to say. But in Genesis 3, 1 through 10, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." And once again, when we're talking about the serpent, some say, well, this is just pointing to Satan. Others say the serpent was possessed. It don't matter. Satan was there. He is, wherever way you want to view it, Satan was there. And he says, "Satan said unto the woman," this deceiver, this manipulator. Once again, the Satanists will say he ain't a bad guy. I'll tell you, he is. He is a thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his M.O. That don't change. However, he wants to paint that to make it other people to fall for it. And our hearts should hurt for those that think this. And we should be in prayer for them, because Satan has them blind. But he said unto the woman, "Yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" See, he takes God's word here. He's starting to twist it. He's a manipulator. "And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." See, he's twisting those. "For God do know that in that day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be open." And listen, he said, "Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." To be gods. You notice how Satan just twists the words just right when he said, "You'll be as God, not the God." He realized he wanted to be God. He wanted to exert his, he wanted to exert what God has placed on him and overthrow God. And it didn't turn out well for him. And he knows when you go against God, it will not turn well out. So he wants to bring as many people into misery as he can. And that's what he's doing here with Eve. So you will be as gods, not the God. And you will know good and evil. But he's not telling the whole story here. He's just giving pieces. You know, that's very important. We need to understand the word of God is what it is. God is not here to hurt us. Satan is. And here the woman, she starts seeing that tree. And it says, when the woman saw that tree, it was good for food. And it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. He was right there, guys. Some people want to point their fingers at Eve and get all huffy and puffy. Adam was just there to blame. He was there. He was not standing in the gap. I'm telling you, us men, as God in our family, we are supposed to stand the gap against the evil one. Are we? We should be praying over our wives and our children daily. We should drive them to study the Word of God, not in a hateful way. No, not forcing them to do it. But I want to tell you, when your children see you reading the Word of God and praying, when they see you living a life different than that world, they're going to want to follow you. They're little mini-yous, right? They learn from their family. And the eyes of them, it says, were both open. They knew they were naked. They were exposed. And immediately because of that shame, that sin that has came into the world at time, they sold these fig leaves together. That's the first clothing. It says, made themselves aprons, made themselves clothes. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. Man, God will call us out on our sin. He already knew at that point what went down. But he's going to ask, Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. See, that's what sin does. If you're a child of God, it's convicting when you sin against God. And the Lord God called unto Adam. He already knew, but he said, where art thou? He knew what happened already. He said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. That sin will do it. Satan takes God's word. He twists it. He tries to make it say something that it doesn't. He wants to make each and every one of us go against God's word. I will tell you, it's very important for us to understand that the word of God reveals our enemy. When we look at scriptures like Genesis 3, 1 through 10, and you can look at Matthew 4, 1 through, let's see, Matthew 1 through 11. I encourage you, look at those scriptures. You get the full play. Satan does not change his playbook. He doesn't. It works too well. But the good news, we have his playbook right here. The word of God is powerful. Are we using it? Are we taking time to study the word of God? Are we taking time in that time to pray and to worship him daily? You see, when we move away from the studying and the reading and the prayer and the praising and the worship, Satan is praising you, I guess. I'm trying to say applauding you. I don't think I'm saying that right. But he's giving you a hand clap because that's what he wants. Don't play into that. Because he knows a person that is studying the Word of God, that is seeking God through the Word, through prayer, lifting his name up daily, becoming that warrior, that soldier for Jesus, is dangerous to him. Because he can't do nothing with a person like that. I think of Joshua in the Old Testament. You may have heard that name. Joshua, he was Moses' second in command. He was considered by most Bible scholars, and I would consider probably one of the I would consider the Bible's greatest military leader, and probably one of the greatest generals in the human history. And Joshua 24:15 says this: "And if seen evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Ammonite in whom land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here's Joshua. And Joshua's looking over the landscape, his culture, and he is seeing the evil penetrating his society. And he's bold. He has a spine, a backbone that we should have in a society today to stand on the Word of God. And he says, are you guys going to serve the fathers that were forsaking God, basically, I'm paraphrasing, before the flood, such as the gods of the Ammonites? But he said, for my house, we're not going to go into that pattern. I am standing on the truth, the Word of God, and my house will not serve that anti-God agenda that is penetrating our society. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you like that? When the agenda of today's culture is to say that homosexuality is okay, and they want every preacher, if they could, in America to compromise that simple biblical truth, do you stand on the Word of God and say no? I want to tell you, society grows farther and farther away from God as our society becomes more pagan and satanic, and satanic starts penetrating our society, which has already occurred, and it has entered our churches, and the compromising of the truth has already occurred. My heart breaks to see it. I stay crying, looking at it, and say, God, I know your time is drawing near. Give me strength to stand on truth, because in the end, I'll be looked down as a hater, as a bigot, as somebody that's not showing love. I promise you there's love in God's Word. And to compromise who you are in Christ is not love. No. Love is to tell people the truth, even though it hurts you. Telling people if they don't turn from their wicked ways that there's a hell prepared for them should break your heart. It breaks mine. Oh, I don't want to be that preacher to tell them about hell, because it breaks my heart. And when they look at you and they say, oh, you can't judge. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm trying to warn you before it's too late. Because today could be your last day. You could close your eyes and it's over with. At that point, you're saved or not, and God will look at you and put that on you, because He's holy and righteous. If you're not His, then you go to hell. And those Satanists that are believing that hell's all fun and games, and that they're going to throw back a 12-pack with their buddies and play some pool, is sadly mistaken. Hell's not going to be a lovely place. It's going to be a place of screaming and torment. But we should stand on truth. We should stand on the Word of God. We need to recognize who Satan is. He fell from heaven. He was in a position, beautiful angel, a cherubim. Some will believe that he was second in control, leading praise and worship over many angels. There is a scripture. Here, let me see if I can find it. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Why can he do that? Because he once was light, so he can mask himself to look like light. The scripture says Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. But you see, when we go to the scripture, it will tell us exactly who he is, and he cannot deceive us. If we are studying the Word of God, and when we're looking, I encourage you guys, look at Genesis 3, 1 through 10, and study that, and it gives you his plan. He does that over and over and over, and look at Matthew 4 and 1 through 11, I believe. Look at that. That's his playbook. And of course, there's a ton of more scriptures, but it just seemed like that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting me to just point to tonight, and to bring light to those scriptures. That is his playbook. And I'll tell you, when I preach these sermons, and type these sermons, and the Holy Spirit is pouring out of me, I get tacked. Because what's happening in the pulpit is you don't have enough preachers out there warning the congregation, warning others that this spiritual warfare is real, and it's going to increase as we grow closer to the coming of Christ, and that we need to armor up and we need to prepare ourselves for battle. We're not preparing others for that spiritual war. We're sending them out there not equipped to handle. And I'll tell you how we get equipped is the studying of the Word of God. From in our pulpits to our Bible studies at home or in church or in our family or where we're at, we draw strength, and hopefully it's a Bible study that is focusing on God and pointing to Scripture. See, there's power in that. And we got to understand when we're doing that, we will face challenges in this world. And that's only what Satan can do. Satan can try to cause us and try to distract us from what is going on. This is his futile attempt. He's like a little hamster on a wheel running back and forth, trying to do everything he can. But if you say, no, I'm going to keep on doing, I'm going to keep on pressing on, keep on pushing forward, because I'm going to live for Jesus. Like Joshua said, for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. He was a commander, a general. He was a warrior. He was just not a physical warrior. He was a spiritual warrior for the war, spiritual warrior for Christ. And he said, I see all this, and you know, I've been through war. I understand that. I understand the spiritual warfare. For my house will not serve your gods of this world. Our house, as my house, we will not serve the God of this world. We will stand on the Word of God and point to Scripture. Amen, right? The Word of God. Satan is not a good guy. He's a thief. The Word of God, when we look at it, reveals who Satan and his demon are. A lot of times we look at people, physical people. We may look at the Satanists and the witches and get angry. I don't get angry. My heart hurts. Because they are being influenced by Satan and the demons. And I won't believe most of them don't even realize what's going on. They're so deceived. And when we look at our leaders in our nation and the anti-God agendas, we can get mad and angry, and I'm not immune from that. But we got to realize Satan and the demons are pulling their strings. They need God too. We should always lift them up. And when we look at Scripture, we can get that. And in our personal life as soldiers of Christ, we have the Word of God that reveals these things to us. And it reveals how we are supposed to live our life. And it reveals how we are supposed to walk with God every day. That prayer, right? In the mornings. And mornings could look like afternoons, or it can look at night if you're working night shifts. But when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing you do? Do your feet hit the ground and you run off and try and figure out what you're going to do for the day? Or instead your feet hitting the ground, does your knees hit the ground and you say, thank you, God, for another day. Another day to praise you. Another day to worship you. Another day to be that light. I know I will face challenges. I need you, God. I need you. I can't do this on my own. Jonathan will mess it up. For leaning on my own understanding will lead me straight into the pit every time. I need you to guide me. And we open our hearts in that time of prayer and travail. We open our hearts to the scripture early in the mornings or wherever, what time we wake up. And we open our hearts to worship and praise to Jesus. We lean our hearts to Him and say, lead the way, God. Guide your path. Protect my life. Reveal my eyes to the enemy, that I see his tricks, his cunning ways, his wiles, as Ephesians 6 tells us. And armor me up, God. Oh, I pray over that belt of truth, that our Lord is girded with that truth, right? And we pray over that breastplate of righteousness, and we pray over that helmet of salvation. We pray that our feet are firmly in place for that gospel of peace, because there's no other peace up on that rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. And we pray over our shield of faith, and we pray over, of course, that sword, that double-edged sword, the Word of God. That is our offensive and defensive weapon. It's very important because the Word of God, the Scriptures reveal who our enemies are, our spiritual enemies. And when we look at that, then we go and the Word of God prepares us for battle. And I want to ask, how is your reading of your Bible? I always pull up stats, and for me to pull up stats is just to get a good foundation. Because I wish I could travel state to state and preach at church to church and get a feel of the spiritual climate. But stats, replicable Christian research groups, gives you kind of an overview of where we're at as a nation. Bible readership stats here. They did a study, said United States 2018 to 2021. This research group took a survey in 2021. And what they found in 2021, found that 11% of Americans read their Bibles daily. That was 11% out of 100. So there is approximately 89% of Americans don't read their Bible daily. Trends in reading habits over the last 4 years is that what we call longitude study, show the majority of Americans never read the Bible. The Point, which is a Christian magazine, wrote this article on May 6, 2020. The title is called Closed Bible, The Epidemic of Biblical Illiteracy in the 21st Century. And man, I could go in articles after articles pointing to this. We have a problem in America with people truly opening their Bibles and studying it. It could explain why we have all these false preachers and teachers in the pulpit, because they're depending on them to tell them the Word of God, when we're supposed to be studying it on our own, showing ourselves approved, right? Being breathings, meaning I always say when I'm preaching on anything, teaching on anything, you weigh me by the Scripture, the Word of God, and if I misspeak anything, correct me. I will apologize and I will repent to God where I failed Him, and I get back up and go again, because I'm human. I can misspeak. Problem is, today you got too much pride in the pulpit. When they say something that's counter to the Word of God, if it's on YouTube, they try to delete everything instead of apologizing that they made a mistake. That shows there's a prideful heart and there's problems in their life, and they probably should not be behind the pulpit, because they have to admit in pride once again what got Satan thrown from heaven, or Lucifer thrown from heaven, is pride. Pride was one of them. Biggie. I will usurp my throne above his. We have to be humble in nature and realize we can misspeak. We're human. On this study, the title is called Closed Bibles, the Epidemic of Bible Illiteracy in the 21st Century. And I'm not going to read all of this, but here's just a little portion which really I thought was really good. And I said, and this places article on Facebook, of course, you guys can look back on our Fisher Facebook page and read this article. It says here, if one decided to start a diet solely on Taco Bell, McDonald's, it would not take long before they balloon up and die, right? Just think about eating Taco Bell and McDonald's every day. That's all you ate, Taco Bell's. I love Taco Bell. And McDonald's, and I love McDonald's. But if you ate that, it was the only thing you ate all day, all through the week, all through the month, you start gaining weight and possibly die because you're not getting the proper, like, nutrient, right? So I say at least, or you'll become seriously ill. That's what the article school says. It said, no matter how good these quesadillas or French fries, in that moment, they will never made to satisfy you, meaningly to give that nutrients for you. In fact, instead of satisfying, they actually end up doing a lot of damage. If you ate the quesadillas and French fries every day and that's all you ate, nothing else, you are not getting the proper nutrition, the vitamins, your body will start declining. In this article, they present this question I thought was really good. It says, what if the same thing is happening in our souls? Instead of filling our souls with the rich word of God, we fill it with Instagram posts, funny memes, YouTube videos, and this list goes on and on. You see, the Word of God is important in our lives because the Word of God is truth. And Satan does not like that. When we look at John 10:10, we look at that last part of that verse. He says, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Right? John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is that connection there that you see when he says the thief, which is coming to bring death, destruction, chaos. Jesus said, I am opposite of that. I will give you opposite of that. I will give you life and I will give it more abundantly. Meaning that when we walk this life, is not meaning this life will be a, what we would say, a bed of roses. He didn't say you will not have suffering and tribulations, trials in this life. He's saying the way you will view it, perspective-wise, you will realize it from a different angle. Right? You will realize that everything is happening in your life is to grow you closer to Christ, to make you into that disciple. Man, just look at Paul. Look at all the things that he had to endure for the cross. And he said, I counted. He basically says, all of it, everything that he done physically in this life that was to, you know, he would say, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and et cetera, et cetera. He said, all of it basically don't mean nothing. It is dung. It is crap. Except what I have gained for Christ. He said, all those things that I went through, the shipwrecking, the stoning, the beating, all of that, I give God glory for. Being stoned to death. Well, some would believe that he was stoned to death, and, you know, and rose or stoned to death. The shipwrecking, the beating, the abuse that he suffered preaching the gospel, he count all of that as his gain. And that's how we have to view things. When we're going through this life, we count everything as gain to Christ. The suffering, the pain that we experience in this life, we give it to Christ. We give him glory. Sometimes we will not understand all the things we're going through in this life. And sometimes it's not meant for us to understand. But we lift his holy name above any other thing. Because why? He is the light in our path. And when we look at that and we look at scriptures and we let the scriptures light our path and miss the pain, miss the suffering, we cling to the scripture knowing that everything in this life is only temporary. In the end, we will have a life that's beyond what we could ever imagine. Everlasting life. More abundant. We can gain all the treasures of the physical treasures of this life. The six-figure incomes. Nice houses. Nice cars. The boats, right? Nice little checking account. And there's nothing in itself is evil to have those things. But when they take priority over God, then they become a problem when they rule over you. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart be also." Our heart should be beating for Christ. Our heart should be beating to the scriptures and the studying of the Word of God. As we walk into this world, our light should shine among the lost. All the scriptures should be on our mind daily. All the prayer within our soul should radiate from us. The praise and worship should be daily. All those things, the material things in this life, should not own you. You should not be a slave to them. They should not take precedence over you studying the Word of God. When you have these distractions, Satan is putting them in your path. You need to recognize for what they are, distractions, and get back to the Word of God. Matthew 16:24-26 says this, "And then said Jesus unto the disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And it comes back to that question in that article. What if the same thing is happening to our souls? We're feeding our souls all this junk of this world, and we're pushing the Bible to the side. Oh, I don't have time. But I have time to stay on Facebook for 6 hours. Or I have time to binge watch something on Prime or Amazon or Amazon Prime or Netflix or DirecTV or Dish or whatever DVD or Blu-ray series you have. You have time to sit there for 8 hours and binge watch that. But you don't have time to study God's Word. See, the enemy wants to make it feel like you don't have time. I'm going to tell you, you need time. You need that time daily in the studying of scriptures. Because when we study scripture, when we study the Word of God, it's because of that and because of the Holy Spirit that's in us, we become wise. Not because of we are special, we become wise of the tricks, the temptations, right, of Satan. If you could think of, you know, we look at Eve and Adam, you know, if they would just cling to what God said, his word, do not eat from that tree. That was, he spoke it, that was his word, that was scripture, or is scripture. If we cling to scripture and said, this is what Jesus says, I'm standing on it. When the enemy trying to hit us with everything in this world, we counter with scripture. We don't go in conversation with the enemy. See, when the enemy will say all kind of negative things to you, he will try to pull you away from God. And when we're studying the Word of God, we will recognize that pull. We will recognize that negativity. God don't love you. Why would God let that happen? What's the point? You're wasting your time. All of these are negative things. Anytime you're hearing that, these are the voices of the enemy. And we counter with Scripture, not going into conversation. A conversation is a two-way path. I asked you how the weather is. You said nice. And I said, I know. No, we do not give foot to Satan. It is written. This is what God says, and that is final. And I will stand on what He says, and that is the end. And you take that stand, and He will flee. Period. He may come back with something else, and that is just a spiritual battle. We have to endure. We will always have to something to face in this life. But the thing is, it will not last forever. For we do not know when Jesus is going to take us home. Tonight could be our last night. When we lay our heads down. But we are called to be warriors for Christ. And to be warriors for Christ is to cling to Scripture. In closing, the title of this Bible study tonight, and it's kind of the whole point and the whole wraparound theme, and we could say it's the take-home message, is the Word of God reveals our true enemy. And the Word of God prepares us for battle. That Scripture, John 10:10, gives us that spiritual warfare overall encapsulating theme of the Bible. The thief, Satan, Jesus, God, Satan, MO is always destruction. You will not find one scripture in the Bible where Satan is painted in a, I'm just not that bad of a guy, I'm just misunderstood. The Word of God clearly paints him as an enemy. The Word of God points him as a master manipulator. The Word of God paints him in a dark light. It even gives us a piece of the history of him while he was in heaven and his falling position because he wanted to be God, because his pride overtook him. He said, look at me, I am beautiful. I want to be worshipped. And the Word of God tells us how he could speak. He could lead other angels in that revolt against God. Revelations 12:3-4. Thinking they could overthrow the God, they were sadly mistaken. Because our God is more powerful than anything Satan thinks he has. And we need to cling to that. When we look at the climate of today's world. This is Satan's world. When we look at the increase in satanic activity, when we look at the increase, and that's including in the witchcraft and all this and the entertainment that is pointed to Satanism, we can look at the increase of that. We can look at the increase that Satan has, that he wants to control everything. He wants to be worshipped. And those that who don't worship him, those that who preach the truth, those that stand on the word of God, he wants to do whatever he can by controlling those physical people to shut them up. He does not want the word of God to go out. He does not want the truth to be revealed. When we're preaching messages like this, and when we're going out there and we're telling people these things, not out of hate, you may come across somebody that is a Satanist worshiper, and the odds are you will one day as it increases. You may come across somebody that is a witch, which is in entirety that is a Satanist. They may not consider themselves. They may say, I am a good witch. There is no such thing as a good witch. This is all Satan manipulating their minds to make them think that he is not a bad person. The documentary Hell Satan, this just portrays Satan as a misunderstood, and they say, "Oh, we don't worship Satan. We just worship the ideal of Satan." And I'll tell you, there's a lot of manipulation going on. If they may even be lying, it wouldn't surprise me. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. He is not the good guy. He wants to cause destruction and chaos. And we need to recognize that. And we need to understand that when we look at the scriptures, when we study the word of God, this is critical for us to do, is to study the word of God, to open the Bible and start studying it. When we do that, our mind starts getting connected with the Holy Spirit, and we start looking at the scriptures, and we're looking at how Satan, through the word of God, has manipulated people in the past. We start becoming wise because we have the playbook right at our disposal. Are we reading it? What are we feeding our souls? When we get home from work, or when we get home doing whatever we want, what are we doing? Are we choosing to study more of the Word of God? Are we choosing more to pray and seek Him daily? Are we praising and worshiping His holy name? Are we seeking to know Him more? Are we like Joshua, 24:15 says, if I see evil unto you that serve, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day, whom you shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Ammonites, in whom land ye dwell, for as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? Is your heart truly in it? And that's what this whole message is about. Where are you at when it comes to studying God's Word? Because it will save you a lot of heartaches. I speak from experience. I have made my share of mistakes, and I'm not immune from them. I'm human. The more, though, that I study God's word, the more I pray, the more I seek Him, the more the Holy Spirit operates in my life. And I can say, hey, that is the enemy. When somebody does something around me that just kind of just upsets me. And I have a temper, right? I can realize, hey, that person's being influenced by a spiritual enemy of mine. A person may not know it, not even realizing he or she's being used. How can I counter that? What does your word tell me, God? Give me direction, Lord, through your scripture. Guide my hands and feet. Let my eyes be open to yours. Give me your wisdom in handling that situation. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray through this whole sermon, who are maybe listening to this later or in the future, the heart is to drive that person to re-examine their lives and see if they're studying the Word of God, that they're looking at spiritual warfare and how important it is for us to understand who our enemy is and how he manipulates us if we allow him. As the Holy Spirit is in us, the Word of God is so powerful. You are. When we lean more on you and less on ourselves, we are guided and directed to wage a good warfare against our enemies. It's when we pull away from our studying and pull away from our prayers, we start falling into all kind of traps that the enemy has laid out. You tell us through our scriptures to study to show ourselves approved. You tell us to keep walking. You tell us to die daily, to pick up our cross and follow you. And in this life, we will have suffering and pain. And some of us may not understand some of the things we're going through. But we lift it up, lift everything that we're going through. And we know in the end, if we keep our eyes firmly planted on you, and we keep our eyes in the Word of God, and let that be a light in our path, we will keep pressing forward regardless of what the enemy will hit us with. Oh, how this culture will turn, is turning evil. And I believe we haven't seen nothing yet in America. It's just why I feel the heaviness and the darkness of America. I feel the fabrics of America bending as a building is ready to collapse. And we just lift America up to you. We know the enemy has infiltrated the foundations, from the government to the education to the even to our churches. And our hearts should be heavy. Our hearts should be heavy for that. Satan has infiltrated our families, our children. God, we pray. Our hearts should yearn. Our souls should weep at what's going on. Oh God, give us a heart for your word. Give us a heart to press on. Give us a heart to point others to you. Oh God, give us strength to press on. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night. You can definitely email me on this website. You can definitely hit me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Some of you guys may have my personal phone number or my email address, and you can always reach me with any questions that you may have. If I'm sleeping, I'll get it when I wake up. Try to answer as best as I can. Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.